upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose MasterForce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from MasterForce today. Check out all our MasterForce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Fantasy Writers Toolshed. I'm your host, Richie Billing, and today it's our Halloween special. I'm delighted to welcome the actor, podcaster, producer, and a host of other things, Megan Martin, who's kindly joined me to talk all about monsters. Megan is from West Virginia, and it's home to Bigfoot, Mothman, and a bunch of other creepy things. And with it being Halloween, I thought it a fine opportunity to talk all about things a little bit spooky. They feature an awful lot in fantasy, monsters and spooky stories, unnerving things. And it's something I've wanted to talk about for a while. So I'm delighted to bring that to you at last. It's also the final episode of our current season. We'll be back in the new year with lots more content. So be sure to subscribe and follow so you don't miss us when we come back. You can also subscribe to my bi-weekly newsletter that will be continuing. That's called the Writer's Toolshed. And it's got lots of general advice, tips, guides, and the latest news from the publishing world as well. So if you want to stay in the loop, be sure to subscribe to that newsletter. It's completely free. And you can also join our writing community. We're on Discord and we're on Facebook. Mostly on Discord now. It's a great place to meet like-minded people and stay in touch, discuss ideas. And in that group, you'll hear all the latest news and events and stuff like that first. So be sure to subscribe. You can do so by clicking the link in the description. Don't forget, we've also got a Patreon page. So if you're looking to learn a bit more about writing fantasy, you want more specialist advice, you can get books, you can get guides, you can get full courses on how to write a fantasy novel, how to edit a novel, create characters, build worlds, everything like that. There's tiers for everybody on Patreon, so be sure to head over, check them out, and see if any of them work for you. Now it's time to get on with the show, and here is Megan Martin to chat about all things monsters. I'm delighted to be joined by actor, writer, producer, and native of the monster-filled state of West Virginia, Megan Martin. Welcome to the show, Megan.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to talk about monsters.
I know. It's very exciting. I just want to be clear as well. When I say monster-filled, I don't mean humans. So like Bigfoot, Mothman, all the interesting ones.
We definitely have a lot of fun ones.
I've been keen to talk about these for a while because I really like Bigfoot. I think that's quite an interesting story. I watched quite a lot of Bigfoot documentaries. I was thinking about why you're interested in these stories. It's like the possibilities, isn't it? It's like escapism. It's like, it's almost like a fantasy story. And I suppose with like social media and stuff now, all of these stories have really taken off. So like there's all loads of Bigfoot YouTube channels. I'm sure there's loads of stuff about the Mothman as well. So before we get into any of that anyway, why don't you tell us a bit about you?
Sure. Yeah. No. So I live in New York City now. I mostly work in like film and television. I've like done like some script doctoring stuff. I work as like a line producer. I've done a lot of acting, things like that. And I'm originally from West Virginia, though. I moved up here after college. So I feel like I really grew up with like all of these stories and like that. There's so much in like Appalachian folklore in general, like because there's a lot of like we have like the granny magic and like the old wives tales and stuff like that. And then we've got like the popular ones like Bigfoot and the Mothman. And I think, I don't know, I think it's just really cool because I think that especially where it's like such a wild place where the wild and wonderful state, like it's just, there's a lot of like mystery and stuff in the forest, which is really cool.
Yeah, it does sound really cool. And I've always seen on these Bigfoot documentaries, it's always that part of the states that they tend to go to. There's loads of forest in it. I mean, what's it like living there to give us a bit of a vibe?
So I'm from Just because I know that there's somebody else on our Discord group that was also from West Virginia. Like, I'm from like the Roane County area, which is like more like the southern part of the state. It's a little bit more rural where I live. So, I mean, like, I grew up like up on like this hill, like in the woods. Like, you know, like I grew up like going and like finding mushrooms and like tracking squirrels and rabbits around, like just to follow them and, you know, like playing with like the trees and stuff. So it definitely, I don't know, there's something just really magical, I think, about actually being like out in the wilderness and everything.
Yeah, I do prefer. I mean, I've always lived in the city, but when you go to the countryside, it's just something quite liberating about it, isn't it?
Yeah, like there's something like isolating about it in like this really cool way where it feels a little bit more like distanced from everything else.
Yeah.
And I mean, just having like all the wildlife around and everything. Like, I feel like whenever you're in like those like really lush forests and like there's just birds and like squirrels and foxes and raccoons and everything everywhere, like it feels like
you're in
just
a
like some place that's like not just for in a fantasy world. I was trying not to say that, but like, yeah.
Yeah. And then in these fantasy worlds, you hear something that you don't quite know or can't quite work out what it is. And then that's getting people's imaginations going, I imagine.
Well, and that's where these all come from. And I mean, that's like, I feel like Appalachia is like definitely like a place that loves like its storytelling. And it's because like, there's so much mystery and like places that you can come up with these stories.
Yeah. So should we start with Bigfoot? Because I think
let's start with Bigfoot.
Bigfoot's probably the most well-known one. It's also the one I know the most about.
Oh, I think he's the heavy hitter for sure.
Yeah. So do you want to give us a bit of an overview about the Bigfoot history?
So I want to be super clear that I am not a Bigfoot expert, but I do know one. His name is George Dudding, and he's written books about Bigfoot. He's like from my town. Nice. And I think Bigfoot is actually more of like a Midwest or like Pacific Northwest kind of cryptid, really. But apparently it made its way over to us. And it's, you know, just like this concept of like this, like, I guess, half ape man who goes around. Doesn't seem to cause a lot of harm. I don't think that he's dangerous. I think that he just kind of snoops around campsites and things. And he's got pretty big feet.
Yeah, good summary. There's like, I think probably the most well-known, well, people debate whether it's real or not, but that the Patterson Gimlin footage show of the Bigfoot walking and it turns around.
Yep.
And then
there's like, so many memes of it.
I know. But there's a lot of, I think that was in the 50s or the 60s when that was filmed. So there's obviously, it's been analysed an awful lot. And a lot of people believe it's real. And that's based on the analysis that they've done of the video. So like, at the time, I think they were saying it's basically impossible to make a suit that realistic. Obviously, a lot of analysis of the way it walks and whether it'd be possible for a human to walk like that. And also the fact that whatever was in the video, it was a female, had boobs. So it was, I don't know what it is. I can't say for certain if it's true. We can't say for certain if it's fake. I think that's what makes it interesting, is because you just don't know, really.
Well, do you know about the footprint thing?
Go on.
That was like one of like the really popular, like, I think that it did end up being discovered that it was a hoax, or maybe people just like decided that it was a hoax. But there was footprints that somebody had found that were supposed to be like the Bigfoot, and they were like much too large to be like a human foot. And the argument for it, though, was that like there wasn't a way to possibly like actually recreate it, because like the way the imprint was in the dirt, like it was like the actual like roll of the foot. So like if it was somebody who was just wearing like a weird like shoe thing or something to try to recreate it, like it wouldn't have actually imprinted correctly, because it's like it's not where like the step would be.
I get you. Yeah. I think there's another thing with the footprints as well, is some people mistake bear prints for big footprints, because the way bears walk is, say, if the front foot presses down, the back foot will also press down in the near enough the same spot to make that first print bigger, if you get me. So it looks bigger than what it actually is. And also, if you see footprints in snow, it could be a bear's print, but as the snow melts, it looks like it's bigger than what it is. So I'm always a bit dubious about footprints, but there have been some like weird things about weird stories, I suppose, and coincidences, which I can't really explain. So one of the Bigfoot things...
You're kind of sounding like a non-believer right now.
I'm on the fence. I'm open to it, and I kind of want it to be real, but I'm just trying to be objective at the same time. But here's where I go a little bit less objective. So obviously... You see on these things, and you might have heard it when you read in the woods, but these things called wood knocks or tree knocks, where basically it sounds like someone has just hit a tree with a baseball bat, like that kind of thing. Or they get just like two rocks like smashed against each other to make like a big bang that travels far.
Yeah,
that's a really weird thing because a bear can't do that.
So that's like one of the things that I think is so fun about it. And I mean, like, and I'll even like go as far as to say that like you'll be surprised to know that I'm not exactly like a firm Bigfoot believer. But you know, like it's definitely fun to like think about. And I think that that's what is kind of like the magic of it and like why people love it is because there's just weird noises in the woods, like all the time. Yeah. And like, I'm sure that I've even heard these like wood knocks that you're talking about. And like, I don't know, it could be Bigfoot. I'm sure it could be something else too, but. Because we have another one too, where it's like there's a lot, because we, like growing up, it's like, you know, it's like always fun to like with your friends, like, oh, we're going like Bigfoot hunting or something. But we had another like similar thing to that, where we would get spooked at like bonfires or like at each other's houses and stuff, because like you would hear in the woods, it sounds like a woman screaming.
Oh, really?
And it's very, very spooky. And of course, when you're a kid, you're like, oh. It's a ghost or like something like that, because you're not thinking like, oh, maybe it's like a dangerous thing. Like it's always a ghost, but it's actually like foxes and mountain lions make that noise. Like they have like a very specific like sound that they make that sounds like a person screaming. And so that's like with the wood knocks, it's like, I don't know. It could be a lot of things. It could be like a squirrel knocking something over, but also it could be Bigfoot though.
Who knows? But there's another weird thing which I'm intrigued by, which you may have even seen, which they call them tree structures. So it's like trees that have been like twisted and like bent to like form these weird sort of overlapping, like they almost look like teepees, like these kind of shelters.
And, yeah.
I don't know how the, because like when you look at the way they've been, like it's been possible for a human to do this. And it's not like the snow, like sitting on top of branches causing it either. It's like, what the fuck has caused this kind of thing? I can't explain that one.
I don't know either. Well, and that's, I have seen those actually. Cause I think we might've called them like witch huts or something.
Oh,
like
cool.
At a daycare that I went to, there was like a tree like that, down over like the hill from like the daycare. I kind of want to like look that up now. Cause like, I don't know what that could be either. Is this like an unexplained occurrence, maybe? I'm not sure.
I was watching, have you heard of Survivor Man?
Oh, no, I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah, he does. I think he's called Les Stroud. And he just goes off into the wilderness and just survives. A bit like Bear Grylls. But he did like a whole series on Bigfoot. And he goes around and he finds all these like weird structures.
The question is, would you go Bigfoot hunting?
I'd definitely go Bigfoot hunting, yeah. Just to say you've done it, you know what I mean? Just for the novelty of it. It's like you go UFO watching, you know what I mean? Like around Area 51, just for like the fun of it.
Oh, I think so. Well, that's like, I feel like you see on like the documentaries about Bigfoot, like just like these people like running around in the woods, like yelling and stuff. And it looks like they're having the best time.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Whether it's real or not, they're having so much fun.
And to be fair, places, I'm like, I'd get quite spooked by dark woods. So I'd be quite hesitant about jumping out the car and just walking around the woods like that in the first place. I mean, do you ever go Bigfoot hunting or anything like that?
I mean, I wouldn't say I've been on an official trip But I have definitely wandered around in the woods with friends and flashlights and tried to see if we could find any weird tracks. And I'm sure at some point we thought we did. But now it sounds like bears just drag their feet and that's where the footprints come from. So
just have a bunch
of tired bears.
So I think when you look at these kind of stories and people getting quite excited about them, I suppose it's like these little bits of evidence where you can't really explain. It's like the unexplainable things that I suppose people get people excited.
Yeah, well, that's, I've always kind of felt like, because I think that I'm even a bit of a skeptic at the end of the day, but I'm also very much of the belief of like, it's way more fun to not be a skeptic. I mean, like even like with like ghost stories and stuff, it's like maybe they're real, maybe they're not. But I don't think you gain anything by not believing in ghosts. And it's way more fun if you do.
Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, that's like why we read fantasy stories and everything in the first place, right? Is because we like stuff like that.
Yeah. So that's Bigfoot. So what about the Mothman?
Okay, so the Mothman is my personal favorite. And I'm very excited because it seems as if our Mothman has really been picking up some steam over the years. Like because the new Fallout game that came out a couple years ago, so like not new, but like there was like the Mothman in that one. And then I've seen it in like quite a few things that like just like feature like cryptids and things. There's actually like a new thing with like there's a campaign of like Vampires the Masquerade that I'm going to start playing with some friends soon. And like the Mothman is in it, which I think is very, very fun that it's like becoming, I guess, one of the more well-known ones. But do you know the history on it?
Not really, no. I think I remember years and years ago watching a documentary. I was probably a kid, actually, and it was about the Mothman and the Jersey Devil. And yeah, I just remember being quite spooked by it because it's like sort of flying around at nighttime, you know what I mean? And you can't really see. So yeah, tell us all about it.
So basically, like the story of the Mothman is that it was in the 1960s. People started seeing... It looked like a really, the way they described it was like it had like bright red eyes and it looked like a really tall man with wings, but it was like entirely like black, like completely, like to the point, I think that a lot of people would say that it seemed like kind of fuzzy, but it just, and like the wingspan too, like people would say that it was like 6 feet long, like it was supposed to be huge. And it's, I think that there was two sightings of it, and then I think somebody also said that they saw it flying over their car once. And it was just for like this very short span of time, all of a sudden people are seeing this thing. And then right after that, we had the Silver Bridge in Point Pleasant. It collapsed like on Christmas Eve. And it was like a really, really crazy. Oh, wait, it wasn't on Christmas Eve. It was on December 15th. I just looked at it. But the bridge collapsed and it was like around Christmas time. And so like, it was this very, very like tragic event. Like all these cars like ended up in the water and it was like really, really crazy. Cause there was just Christmas presents like everywhere. And there weren't any sightings of the Mothman after that for a while. And so people thought that the Mothman was supposed to have been like an omen to like warn us that the tragedy was going to happen.
Yeah.
And then also something that I think is like super interesting that doesn't come up as much is then people started talking to like newspapers about it because, you know, like obviously like the press was coming about the bridge collapse and the Mothman would come up in the press things. Like people would also be talking about, and also like the Mothman was trying to warn us about it. And so like that kind of like got a little bit more attention.
Yeah.
And then once that started getting reported on, all of a sudden in West Virginia, like specifically in like the Point Pleasant area, these like men would show up in suits and they always looked like maybe not quite right. Like it, like, I think it was like, said like they always looked like they were like wearing makeup. Like maybe they had like lipstick and like powder on or something. Yeah. And they were like in black suits and they would have these like black sunglasses and they would just kind of like go to people and be like, stop talking about the Mothman. Like, stop talking about it.
Weird.
So what I'm trying to say is that these men in black were trying to get people to stop talking about the Mothman, which is where, like, the concept of like the Men in Black came from.
Ah,
which then like it turned into like some people think that the Mothman was an alien, and the Men in Black were like trying to get people to stop talking about the aliens, essentially, which is like where like, and then you get like the Will Smith movie and stuff that came out later, because like obviously that expanded into like aliens in general, but like that's where that originally came from, was the Mothman story.
You know, Phil went on holiday to Germany, and I think he was down somewhere down by the Black Forest anyway, so I imagine it's quite similar to like West Virginia, that kind of landscape, and this little town, and there was a mine in the town. And all these fellas were going down that morning to go into the mines. But there was a figure standing in front of the entrance to the mine. And they just kind of like, no one knew what to do. Like, they just kind of backed off and left it. You know, and apparently it had wings as well. And then after like a little bit of time, it just disappeared. But what basically happened is, while that creature was there, the mine below collapsed. And if all those guys would have gone down into the mine, they all would have died.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. So that was quite weird. So it's interesting you say about the omen thing. Like, the beast appears at the omen. And like, if you're thinking about stories and ideas, I think that's really an interesting angle to go along.
Well, I think that it even shows that it is, because I hadn't heard specifically that one, but I have a book called The Telltale Lilac Bush, and it's just a collection of like Appalachian like ghost stories and like folklore and stuff like that. And there's several stories in it of it's like, whether it's like it's a person or it's a dog or it's like a creepy figure that's like specifically to the mines, like blocking like the entrance. So like people are too spooked to like go. And then like there ends up being like the collapse, and it ends up like saving lives, which I love a hero cryptid. I think that's awesome. But
yeah,
but I think it shows like how much we resonate with these tropes. And so like it like applies to writing so well, because I mean like it already is so present in like storytelling, like not even like today, but just over time, like we're constantly kind of using these same characters, but like putting them in different costumes and like putting them in different locations. And like, it's just, I think it's really cool how much we love these stories and just kind of like are constantly repackaging them because they seem to mean so much to people.
Yeah.
Is that too heady?
No,
maybe I'm
no.
being too heady about this, but.
But it's amazing. Like they proper spark something in people's imagination, don't they? And
exactly.
I suppose it's sort of like the Mothman, like Bigfoot. They probably play on people's fears a bit more, don't they? Like, especially hearing weird noises at night in the woods, and all like things that you can't quite see flying about. They're all like fears, aren't they? Like things that you can't really control or define or something that's a bit unknown.
Well, and it's almost like a coping mechanism in that way too, right? Because I mean, I feel like there's almost like a distancing that happens. Cause I mean, like if you're out like in the woods and like you hear like wings flapping, there's something that's almost, I think like, it's still like scary to think that it's the Mothman, but I feel like that's kind of like more of like a distancing, like fantasy way to look at it than like, oh my gosh, it might be a bat. Like what if we get rabies or something? Like it almost like, I feel like it almost tones it down a little bit and makes it something like that's fun scary instead of scary.
Yeah. So I suppose like these are the kind of situations that sort of provoke the stories. And then if you're writing a fantasy or trying to think of a monster, it's just a matter of just thinking like, what if? So if you're in the woods, you're sitting around the campfire and you hear sort of make a big bang in the woods, like, well, what if it was this? What if it was that? And then you can start to, once you're in the scene, I think, like mentally in that scene, I think it's quite easy to think of different kinds of monsters that could emerge.
Oh, I mean, your imagination can just go wild.
So there was another creature that you mentioned to me. It's called the Wampus Cat.
Wampus Cat, which is so fun to say.
It is, yeah. It's a good word, Wampus.
Have you ever heard of that one at all?
No. It's a completely new one on me.
So the Wampus Cat is there's like a couple different versions of it, and one of them sounds honestly kind of boring, and I think it's like the most like well known is people just call it a Black Panther. And so there's Black Panther spottings in Appalachia, but it's considered a cryptid because they shouldn't be native to the area, and there's no reason that one would be there. So like it got classified as a cryptid, even though like a Black Panther is a real thing. But I think that a lot of it is kind of like a derivative of like this thing called the Wampus Cat, which is supposed to be this very large black cat that looks like a panther, like a mountain lion or something. Yeah. But it has like webbing in between like its fingers. Mm. Or I guess paws. What are cat fingers called? Beans, it's toe beans. and so it's like it's really, really good at swimming. And I don't think it again, they all seem very harmless. Like it doesn't seem like they ever try to hurt anybody, like any of these like cryptids. But basically, like the idea is that people will like hear it screaming or like making this like really like surreal shrill noise around campsites. But then if you try to like catch it or chase it, like you just see this big cat and it like goes into the water and it can just swim for days. It's like it looks like a mink or like an otter or something.
Kind of like stories like the people tell about the Wampus Cat, then if it's not like a bad thing, did it like save people or anything like that, or is it like an omen?
So I don't think that there's any story specific to the Wampus Cat other than people just saying that they saw it. Like I think the extent of the stories is just people being out in the woods or like camping or something, and then like they hear the noise, they see the cat, and then it just like ducks into the lake and it's gone. But there's something similar. I think that sometimes it's called by the same name, but I don't want to stake anything on that. But there's a story in like Cherokee folklore too, that it's the same kind of creature, but the origin for it is that there was a woman who hid under mountain lion skins to try to watch this very sacred meeting that she wasn't allowed to go to. And she got caught, and her punishment was that they cursed her by turning her into this cat. And I think like the Native American version of it, I think it looks more like a mountain lion. And I think that it's even a little bit more human-ish in a way as well, like a werecat kind of vibe. But like that's, and like the story with that is about, I suppose it would be like to teach about like obedience and like things of that nature, which I mean, you know, like those are stories that I feel like we have all over folklore. I mean, there's so many, like, I mean, especially with like kids, like getting kids to like not go out into the woods, like there's creepy things in the woods, so don't go there. Or like, I mean, you know, like with that, you know, like you have like the story of like Blackbeard, which is like kind of, I mean, I don't want to say it's similar, but you know, the whole like, don't look into this room and then something bad happens to you if you like disobey and do that. Which that one I think has a little bit more of a feminist vibe to it than this one does, but I think like that's really interesting. And then they also there's also like connections of like other like Native folklore with like skinwalkers and stuff too, that's like kind of similar, where it's like people who can kind of like wear the skin of things and then turn into it. So I think it's more of like the whole like the person wearing the animal and turning into it is like kind of the underlying
it's a lot of interesting stuff comes from like the Native American cultures, isn't it? Because Bigfoot, that was like, apparently that's in Native American culture, like that's quite common. And the skinwalker
the skinwalkers is like, oh, it's so creepy. Oh, I think that's like terrifying. That's the one that spooks me the most.
What can you tell us about that one?
The only thing I think I've heard like kind of different versions, so I'm not, I think with all of these, there's just different versions, but I think that the way that somebody is supposed to be able to like become a skinwalker is, I think you have to murder someone, and I think specifically you're supposed to murder your brother, but it like essentially gives you like this power, and it's like a power and a curse that you can like wear the skin of like animals or sometimes like people. And then like you turn into that thing. That one actually, oh, I can't remember what the story was, because there was like a specific story that I have on my shelf somewhere of these people like who encountered one in Canada. And it's like, it's very, very scary, because it's like basically like somebody from their camp gets like taken in the night, and then like he shows back up. But it's like it looks like his skin doesn't quite fit his fit. Like his skin like kind of like feels like seems like saggy.
Yeah.
And like he and he's like not like he can talk, but like he's not talking very well. And then it's like they and he won't take his shoes off. And like I think like part of that was it was something like it I don't remember why he can't take his shoes off. But like for some reason he can't take his shoes off, and they kind of like try to press him about it, and then he runs away. And he comes back the next day and skin looks a little bit tighter and his like speech is like a lot better, but like he still doesn't sound like him. Like it's almost like he's pretending to be a person.
Yeah.
Like, but like, it's like he's not really like acting normal, and like definitely not like what their friend would act like. And then they scare him off again. And then it's like the third time he comes back, it's like he's completely like their friend, and they're like, oh, that's great. But then they kind of like add the caveat at the end of like they never saw him take his shoes off like ever again. So it was like basically this thing had like done something with their friend and then like turned into him. Oh, which I mean, it's just, it's so spooky. And there's like there's lots of just like little stories of like people who will like say like that they'll see like things that look like they're like halfway in like a transition between being like a dog or like a deer and a person. Or like I think like one of the ones is like people like hearing it's like it sounds like a dog barking, but then like it starts turning into just like basically a person saying bark. I think they're all very, very spooky. And I'm sure there's something like also psychological about like why we get really hung up on like stories like that specifically, but
so, and that's just like you can't really explain. There's always something a bit unsettling, a bit unnerving about it, isn't there?
Yeah, oh for sure.
So if we were like trying to apply this to like writing fantasy, what kind of things would you think people should keep in mind when they're thinking about monsters, or like the just even like the stories? Because I think that's quite good when you're trying to make a fantasy world like our own, like these little stories that feature in people's lives. That, I mean, sometimes they can dictate how people live their lives. Like if someone's too scared to go in the woods because there's a monster in there, or you think there's a monster in there, that's affecting their life quite significantly. So it's interesting, isn't it? So how, what do you reckon people could do to create these in their own stories?
I think that maybe the biggest lesson to even take away from it is, this might sound like kind of silly to say, but I think that like a big thing that you can really take away from it is to just have confidence and just like exploring ideas and like using your imagination on things, because you know, like these are stories that like people just tell on an everyday basis, and like the stories that are recycled over and over and over again, and you know, like some of them I think are scarier than others, and I think some of them are more plausible than others, but at the end of the day, like what people love about them is that it's just, for some reason, it seems like it's a nicer world to live in when yeah. You have like that magic and you have these like unexplained things and these mysteries. And so I think like whenever you're applying this to your writing, I mean, one, it's just you have such a wealth of things that you can dive into to look to for inspiration. And I think it's also important to remember, you know, like you can kind of just go wild with your imagination, and like it's not silly, it's fun. And I mean, even in terms of, I think people talk a lot about like, you know, like recycling stories and like relying on nostalgia too much, or like cliches too much. But I mean, at the end of the day, like we love seeing things repeated. And so like, I think that it's almost an encouragement too, that like the reason that we have cliches and the reason that we have these stories that are told over and over again is because we love them. And yeah. So like, I don't think that that should always be a deterrent. I mean, obviously we want to do something innovative and like put your own spin on it, but
yeah.
I don't think that you have to worry too much about doing something different when there's so many things that we already like.
Yeah, definitely. And you mean what you can do is you can look at how people are responding to these stories of monsters and stuff. And then you can take them reactions and just apply it to any kind of monster that you create, because then at least you get a bit of an idea of how people respond and react to them. And yeah, there's so many possibilities when it comes to this. That's what makes it so exciting, I think.
Oh, absolutely.
Nice. Well, thank you very much, Megan. It's been really interesting chatting to you. Love talking about monsters and stuff like that. So I'm sure we've only just scratched the surface. We've only talked about a few there. Do you want to get you back on and talk about more?
I will always come back to talk about monsters.
Where's the best place to go if anyone wants to find out a bit more about you?
I think Instagram probably would be the best for me. I'm at Hello Megan Martin, MEGHAN. Everything else is spelled how you would expect.
Nice. Yeah, I'll put the links in the description as well. Well, thank you very much again. And thanks everyone at home for listening.
Thank you again, Megan. It was lovely talking to you, especially about monsters. One of my favorite subjects is Bigfoot. I'm fascinated by the whole phenomenon. Can't say whether I believe or don't, but it's just interesting. And when you analyze the reasons that make you interested and intrigued, you can start to see how you could apply that to your own writing and your own stories within your story. So it's quite an interesting subject. And hopefully you've got some ideas for creating your own monsters as well, which is always a bit of a tricky thing. But focusing on them sort of key principles of something unnerving, something unknown, something that plays upon our fears. We see, for example, giant spiders. Some people are afraid of spiders, and so they feature quite a lot. But people can be afraid of anything. Imagine a scary giant pigeon, for example. Some people are terrified of pigeons. So lots of food for thought there. If you enjoyed today's show, be sure to give us a quick rating on the Spotify mobile app. That just lets us know we've done a good job. So very appreciative if you do that. And make sure you subscribe or follow so you don't miss any future episodes. This is the last episode of this current series. We'll be back in the new year. So if you don't want to miss anything, subscribe, follow, hit the little notification alert button as well, and you'll get a little push notification when we're back. If you want to stay in touch in the meantime, you can click the link in the description to join our writing community. We mostly meet on Discord now. We've got a thriving community. You can join critique groups that meet regularly. You can discuss ideas, get beta reads. We've got a really good critique group going at the minute, all about first lines and first paragraphs, which is really, really helpful. So if you're looking to get a bit of company with your writing, it's a very lonesome game. Just click the link in the description, and within a few minutes, you'll be chatting with us all. So thank you very much again for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the series. The podcast has grown exponentially beyond anything that I could have really imagined. And that's all down to you, the listeners. So thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. Like I said, we'll be back in a few months' time. And until then, keep on scribbling.